This is No Direction's PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage. PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage was made possible thanks to the support of the Roll for Combat podcast, as well as the dedication of our team of volunteers. Due to possibly questionable language, this panel is rated Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Designing aliens, I believe.
That's about right.
Okay. Awesome.
Hi. I'm, some of you were here before. I'm Jason Keeley. I am a Starfinder developer. I worked a bit on Alien Archive and other things. And other alien stuff in the back of Adventure Paths and whatnots. We'll come up and then we'll go here, so introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Luis Losa. I'm a Pathfinder developer.
What?
What? I have made a lot of Starfinder monsters, and a lot of the concepts for Pathfinder monsters, a lot of the same techniques translate over to Starfinder monsters, so I found in my experiences. So I think I'm partially qualified to hang out here.
There you go.
What happened to Galarian?
I'm Joe Pacini, and I also work on Starfinder. I've been working on Alien Archive 2, actually, which was, anybody at the banquet? Check out that sweet art for a new... Nope, okay. Well,
space slugs!
Yeah, there's space slugs, and space dogs, and space...
Okay, cool stuff. And laser wolves.
Laser wolves. So, I've been knee-deep in that. It's been a lot of fun, so I'm excited to talk about this with you.
Hooray.
I'm Liz Liddell. I'm an editor, so I edit for both Starfinder and Pathfinder. I have also written, designed and written some of the monsters in Alien Archive 1 and Alien Archive 2, and some back matter monsters and some stuff. And
all sorts of things.
Yep.
And Taylor's going to be sitting with us, Taylor Fisher is going to be sitting with us to continue drawing up things.
Taylor's here to make us look good.
Yeah, always. So, to catch up the other rest of our panelists, and those of you who weren't here the first time.
Yeah.
Yes.
What happened in here? There's a certain robot.
Oh, God, what is all that?
There's a gap of knowledge.
It's coming at you. Okay. So, our insane audience came up with
wonderful artist Taylor,
yes. And our wonderful artist, but our insane audience brought this to life. So what we're going to do here is a sort of a semi-aquatic style creature, but not living in water, but living on this sort of liquid hydrocarbon methane-y kind of thick planet. But they can, I guess it might be more less gas and more actual liquid, what's that?
Not further down.
But this time the whole planet, wherever they are. So we've got this sort of like, how to explain it?
Use your words.
So we've got a symbiotic with this sort of like tiny little cuttlefish style central core and a bunch of barnacles that they slap all over their bodies that end up becoming like more eyes or crazy legs. And here's the different types that barnacles that they've essentially cultivated over the millennia of their evolution. Some of them end up being sort of like, it's communicative, and this sort of, grabbing all things. So they have like this
ship to ship like relationship.
Yeah, relationship.
Like, shipping tentacle, like you and you.
You and you. Yeah.
It's the avatar when we were looking at it. I was like, it's the avatar.
It's the avatar. starting off in a sort of like when they were before they got their society and whatnot. They would kind of there are some surface creatures, sort of watery type spider deals, and they would eat some things, and that stuff would filter down. So they're able to, with the barnacles, feed off of basically just sort of just get out there and just get every little thing, like a fish flakes and whatnot. But they have evolved, and they kind of went. This is the bunker stuff. Yes, the good bunker stuff. They also live in the sort of corally corpses of their ancestors' buildings. Kind of, so it's a very communal society, and in fact, this whole thing, they individually are also communal with working with the barnacles and whatnot. They have, Basically, it's sort of like these buildings, they don't have much room for the... Now that they have a society now, as they evolve, we're sort of looking at them as more spacefaring futuristic sci-fi stuff. They have their sort of like babies, and there's not quite fish eggs, little tadpole-y type things, but it's kept safe at the creches. And that's what the barnacle coral-type spaces are used for, to keep the things safe and all the weird currents. But then you basically, so at the same time, when these little guys will float out, all barnacles are also growing inside the coral, new barnacles, and so they attach onto each other, and then they become these things. And it's sort of like, the more you get on you, more barnacles get on you, so the more powerful you are, the older you are, and it's, eventually, they have a bioluminescence. It's a way to communicate with each other, flashing lights and colors and intensity, and doing sort of psychedelic spirographs in the we'll just say water for lack of any other word that I can think of at the moment. Eventually, they've gotten sort of spaceship technology that's also kind of built out of their ancestors. So it's a coral exoskeleton with protective plates, I suppose, of some kind. With the inside is just filled with this water, so it doesn't even have like seats or anything. And then one person becomes the engineer, the computer, so they're connected bioelectrically to the insides of their spaceships, and they use these guys as currency. That's it. I'm putting my foot. And they're different, different colors are worth different amounts, of course. So these are multicolored. What else? Taylor sort of like, they got these sort of like squiddy eyes, but then when they get more barnacles on them, they get more enlightened, their eyes get thinner.
And they control the barnacles with their bioluminescence.
Yes. Bioelectric. That's the show. Yeah, they sort of get in there and communicate with their tentacle, their barnacle heads and legs, and they can kind of bloop out legs. And so they have kind of a octopus-style bottom. And you can get more of them. And I guess they have if they need to go out into a non-water space, like that Kalo, they'll probably have the aquatic environment suits. They most likely have purchased from other races, and same with text-to-speech type thing. They can't fully communicate with people who talk like me real good. So they have to get little voice boxes put in from other species in the backwards and stuff like that. We also mentioned some stuff like, oh, maybe the Mego have messed with them a couple times, and all sorts of. And oh, this one is if they go mad and go crazy, they become a baddie. Gosh. Any questions? That's your area.
Goodbye. Okay, so that's 12k C, 10 EAC, yeah. Plus 5 attack bonus. I think we're done.
You did.
Thank you, Mom.
I guess it would be like, which kind would we maybe like work on for fighting? Because I guess like they have the option of being kind of like either a fighter type with more tentacles.
Right, yeah. And the fun thing we've had in our alien archives, we definitely also have multiple stat blocks. So we could have a stat block for just before it even gets any barnacles on it. Or we could have a stat block for a young one, and an old one has lots of stuff.
Can we have PC player race stats too?
Of course.
Yeah! We
have that. Joe.
And some biotech augmentations. I think you slap a barnacle on and you got
Yes.
Shipping tentacle.
we have our NPC creation now, so in print and fully fleshed out in the back of Alien Archive, and this is how we generally do it when we go about doing. We have a concept, this weird mollusky creature barnacle thing, and then we just. Joe, basically, would you agree we just kind of go through the steps?
Often, yeah.
Often,
yeah.
Step zero was the concept part. We have done that. We're 1/14th of the way there. you have questions, sir?
Yeah, could we use the themes from Starfinders to determine the sort of cast sort of setup they have?
That's not quite how this works exactly. But if you had a PC race version of this, and then you were building a regular player character, you would use your themes. This we're sort of now just building stat blocks that would say appear in Alien Archive, and we can go from there. And then we can go up and we can talk about PC Real Estate if we have time for that. Yes, please.
So I think the first thing we got to decide is what kind of creature they are, if they're more combatant type.
Right. Or... so the, let's say for the stat buck that we're putting...
step one.
Yes. Ah. For the stat buck we're putting in the alien archive, right, say, this first stat block, and we don't have to... we. Taylor's going to keep sketching out some stuff. Let's just have, you know, your sort of guard warrior type that of cast that's coming. It's like,
I got it.
Liz,
I know.
Liz.
That's going to be a combatant duration.
You got it. Yeah. Ding, ding. 1 point for Liz. Oh, did I not mention this is a contest? That's why I'm standing up and GMing.
Oh, I see. What are the other arrays, Jason?
The other two arrays are, of course, expert array and spellcaster array.
Yeah, I know.
But you asked.
Well, what's an expert array?
An expert array is for any a creature that's going to be using a lot more skills. Spellcaster is going to be one that uses magic. So you have fighting, skills, magic. But obviously, you know, your expert can be can punch some people and all sorts of things like that.
Even your combatant might have a small set of special, like, spell-like abilities it might have or something else cool it can do. We'll get to that later on.
And they can actually use skills.
Yes,
that too. They are allowed to use skills, yes.
Expert has more skills, obviously.
So step one, indeed, generally, is choosing said array to decide what kind of role you want them to play in combat, generally. Next is the creature type graphs. So what type of creature?
What type of creature is this?
What manner of creature?
And sorry, graphs are a thing. Basically, you take your concept and then you start slapping on graphs. And, we have an array. Since we've decided it's a combatant, we should also, I guess, decide what CR, how
CR
challenging we want it to
yeah.
be.
CR4.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, sorry, what was that?
If you're going to be a PC race, the base CR should probably be fairly low.
We could also say that this is like a, you know, a higher soldier and the PC race. What we'll have for this racial traits will be that distilled down, right?
For example, the Barathu in Alien Archive 1, the Barathu is CR5. But the early stage Barathu, which is the playable race, is CR2, right? So,
yeah.
So it's a good point that generally,
right,
the playable race starts out at a low level,
which would be three barnacles.
Three barnacles, yeah. So
maybe no, not that low. Oh, so Luis has chosen CR4.
Okay, great.
When we
one point?
If you have the book,
yes. Did you get a point?
Yes.
You can have mine.
You didn't write it down.
I'm not writing the books down.
Okay.
I got them up here.
Okay.
So if you open up your hymnals, page 129. No, if you have your alien archive, you can open up. But you see these arrays show you armor class, hit points, starting save bonuses, what kind of skill bonuses you've got, statistical other things like what's going to be DCs of any special abilities, that sort of thing. They're all chosen right here and right now. CR and array.
Their skill bonuses, their attack bonuses.
Yeah, I'm going to start writing some things down, though.
Okay.
But not all the numbers. I'm just writing CR4, combatant array.
Yeah.
And by the end of this, before the last thing we do is we'll name this race.
Yes.
Just so you know. But I want to leave that to the end.
Type.
Then we'll move on to creature type graphs.
Type.
Those are the creature types you're familiar with Pathfinder. Your humanoids, your outsiders, your LM.
You're a format editor. You need to go alphabetically. You know that. Aberration.
A is for aberration.
And animal.
And animal.
And construct.
What?
A construct.
For A, construct.
A dragon.
Dragon. A fae.
Joe, you want to take this one? What do you think these... You've seen these. What do you think?
You know, it feels pejorative often, but aberration sometimes seems kind of to fit. Mm-hmm. Magical beast might be kind of thing, which are similar to animals, but not...
Could we throw out maybe plant? Like, if they're symbiotic with barnacles, would they be, like, some kind of interesting plant creature?
I like
creature?
That, too.
Oh, wow, that's a... I don't know.
Could be an ooze of some kind as well.
Does anyone have a favorite creature type from all of this that have been mentioned so far? These have been here.
Plant.
Dragon.
Tentacles.
Dragon. Plants. Dragon. Yeah, in back to two.
I think I'm always in favor of being worlds getting more sympathetic aberrations, so I vote for aberrations.
Mm-hmm.
It also make an interesting
fig. well, we're at an impasse, so we're a democratic society.
Well, we do it at the office by applause, so let's do it that way here.
It's so noisy in the office at all times.
Let's do a runoff between aberration, fey, and
plants.
How's
okay.
that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Okay, so let's clap for one of those, if you would. You go ahead.
Just don't just clap for one of them right now. So, okay.
Yeah, everybody clap for the one you want.
Aberration. Fae. Okay. And plants. Do whistles count?
I think it was aberration.
I think whistles don't
everybody
count.
Everybody,
so, aberration. We're going to make this,
aberration.
This an aberration. Hands. Now, before we move on, so aberration here, we notice things that type. It's got dark vision, 60 feet. Hooray. That's something that gets grafted right on right away. And then we have an adjustments to its base will saving throws. Now, if we decide to put a class graft on this, we might not use that adjustment.
Right.
But we'll decide that later. Move on to the next step, please.
Creature subtype graft. So, humanoids, but this is not really going to happen here. Every humanoid needs a subtype graft that is the same thing as it, basically. Mm-hmm. But we can skip that step. We don't. Really
no, I think we shouldn't, because I think
what do you got?
This should have an aquatic.
That's what I was going to say.
Now, it is not necessarily water breathing. That's a good question. That is, we are looking at a liquid hydrocarbon. So, are we actually aquatic?
Well, good question. So, does aquatic actually mean... Like H2O based, or is it does it actually mean liquid based?
As written,
yes, it gets the
it
water
currently based. Says water, but we can go. Owen's running a Dell. We can run out there and ask him to. It says underwater or a similar liquid.
But you know, it needs to be able to breathe a something unusual. But it also, I think, should have a swim speed. But there are things we could give. It doesn't need to give the aquatic.
There is actually also a plant like subtype.
A plant like aberration.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Is that for all your votes?
Yes.
That's good. That's neat.
Another point.
That actually brings up something else that we should talk about, which the plant-like subtype tells us that most plant-like creatures have the plant-like universal creature rule, which is something we're probably going to use.
Yes.
So we should take a look at that real quick and
that
see
just
what
you some,
that gives you.
Yeah. gives us some
bonuses to saving throws against things, mind affecting effects, paralysis, poison, polymorph, sleep and stunning, stuff like that.
Cool.
Basically, things that plants would be immune to, they just have a slight bonus
and
unless it specifically works against plants.
I think we will skip aquatic and maybe we'll have to give it a hydrocarbon breathing
special
ability, and then give it also a swim speed at some
makes
future
sense.
Point.
And I think with the hydrocarbon breathing, if we're sticking to the real world, that's quite cold, like very cold, so they'll be probably quite susceptible to fire and heat.
It's possible. We're going to get
so
to the special ability
mean,
stuff.
So actually, would it have a cold subtype?
Yeah,
too?
That's a...
We could give it the cold subtype.
Yeah, we could absolutely give it the cold subtype.
Yeah.
I think we should, in fact.
Let's do it. Let's give it the cold subtype.
In this environment, what is more appropriate, a swim speed or a fly speed?
I think since we're talking about a liquid, right?
We are. Liquid hydrocarbon is weird, sort of, science-y, in-between kind of thing.
It's more viscous than water, so half the swim speed.
Yeah, that sounds... Okay, that sounds good.
Take your word on it.
That's right.
I were doing this and be like, let me Google this a lot to make sure I know what I'm talking
this
about.
This is the Wikipedia portion of
this is why
what's hydrocarbon?
This is why I switched from a biochemistry major to an English major. I couldn't keep all this stuff straight in my
Wikipedia
head.
Came up.
Because
no, thank you, Wikipedia.
Because science. I hate it. I don't hate it, I love it. Look at him.
Okay.
It's now immune to cold.
It is now immune to cold.
But
cold
vulnerable to fire.
And it has vulnerable to fire. Perfect.
Okay. Nice. Terrific.
Great suggestion. Good point. And that's, so it has a couple
subtypes. It has a couple subtypes, and that's
nice.
Okay.
Yep.
What's our next step?
Next is class graft, which for this base creature, I'm imagining we're not going to want to have a class.
Optional step.
It is an optional step.
Yeah, let's keep it...
let's have this be the base creature, right?
Like, sure, we can then give it a mystic later on, something like that.
What do y'all think?
CR9 creature.
Do you want to build, like, a soldier of this, or, insert class here?
I think
we're
kind of thinking, depending on the type of barnacles that it's attracted to, whether it's more the fighty, protective barnacles, or more so depending on...
But we get to decide that right now, what kind of barnacles this thing has got on it, this version of it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is all. I mean, it doesn't have to have the soldier graft at this point.
No.
It can be just a good fighter without having the special soldiery abilities. Mm-hmm. I think
that's actually
fun.
One that I had to wrap my head around is that you can build a fighter. You can build something that punches something without having to give it that class graft for soldier. Mm-hmm. It's still really good at punching things.
Yeah.
Like basic militia.
Right, yeah. And in a lot of the soldier guests, you're going to get stuff like gear boosts and special fighting styles, which may not actually fit with this particular creature's denouement. It's not the right word. That's not,
you minored in French. You minored in French, right?
Yes, and I minored in incorrect usage. I minored in malapropisms. So we'll skip class. We'll skip class graph for now.
Okay, great.
It's optional.
Next
it's optional.
Is the template graph. If we would like it to have a template,
we could make it annihilate.
Yeah.
Yes, no, I'm not gonna make it an undead. A lot of our template graphs are things like undeads or
more undead
or something with a symbiont implanted in it.
Or some undead.
This will be for an NPC that's like the crux of an adventure that is
right,
one of
yeah,
whatever
exactly.
these are.
So
we'll probably skip that one for now too.
Yeah.
Now we're on special abilities.
Now in the array, it lets us know how many special abilities we generate to give this thing.
And low CR4, and for a combatant, we get two.
Two. Now these are special. These should be special abilities.
Yes, very. Yeah.
Because we can give it a swim speed pretty much for free. If we wanted to give it, say, low light vision as well as a strike vision, that doesn't count as a special ability. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think we need to. And we can also sort of talk about like balancing if we think maybe swim speed is too much, or just in general, just for this concept, we probably have to say its land speed is probably like 5-10 feet, or its swim speed might be something like 30 or 40 feet, and that kind of sort of pseudo balances it. And in general, that's sort of going to matter where this thing you encounter this thing, it might be more powerful or not. So
I think it's focused on bioluminescence, it might use that in an offensive manner to like make these enchanting lights.
We had mentioned something like that in the last hour. I think that's 2 points for you. It's double bonus points. You're really trailing behind.
I'm not getting like a point per step here.
In the middle of a fight, you can light up, and someone might have trouble targeting it because these lights are distracting or something like that.
Okay, so
there is a distraction special ability. I think it's in this part. Maybe I'm lying.
Are you talking about the swarms? That's usually on the swarm stuff, right?
Right.
It is usually, but there's nothing that has to be.
Maybe it could be like. How powerful is Dazzle in.
It's like -1 on perception checks. I would think
still the same
that if we want. Yeah, it's still the same thing. Mm-hmm. I think I want to give this thing, it's this CR4 thing, a special ability that uses its bioluminescence flare.
Fascinating.
Into something like. I was actually thinking of off target. Yes.
How about generating a hypnotic pattern of lights?
Hypnotic pattern of lights, which is will give you the fascinate ability. Do we still have fascinated
in
Starfinder? That's in the core rulebook, isn't it? Anyway.
Why would we bring that to
this? I don't know. I mean, panel.
By applause, is that in the score rulebook?
Hey, don't get me excited.
Okay.
Did
you have
panel.
A question? Sorry.
Oh, he's
no,
not.
I applauded.
Oh, yeah, no.
I have the core rulebook.
Hey!
Hey!
The conditions, both of fascinated is still in there.
I think it's 260 something.
273.
Even working on things that have you look at those conditions a lot.
Just remember where that is.
Fair enough. But in terms of the panel, let's talk about that. Do we want to do a hypnotic patterny fascinating glow thing?
Cool.
Yeah, great.
Got it.
Do we want to do fascinated or something that. I mean, fascinated is good. Just fascinated.
It sort of stops you from doing
stuff. You're pretty.
Maybe this goes back. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay. Because we've got the fascinated sort of captivating, or we could do something that's a little bit more aggressive and push them off kilter. Yeah, flash. You're like, whoa.
And this is the kind of point where I would call back to the earlier panel and say, what kind of hunters are they? How did they evolve this ability in the first place? What did they use it for?
Hmm.
And that might inform how they use it offensively now. Like, are they trapping? Do they trap their prey, or do they chase?
Generally,
filtery
feeders. Filter feeders, okay.
Yeah. So their bioluminescence was their way of communicating initially with their barnacles, I think is what we discussed.
Okay.
It could be that the bioluminescence causes confusion. Or creatures that we don't know what's going on with.
Because if you don't speak that language, so maybe these guys are immune to that ability, but against other creatures they can use it to confuse, because like you're trying to, like, You're getting like blasted with sign language in your face and you can't read it.
It makes you stab yourself with a knife. That always happens to me. I don't know what you're saying. Yes.
Could perhaps be used to stun instead.
Stun is pretty powerful.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
And
perhaps
CR4.
Stagger. Yeah, that's kind of a less
stagger. Stagger's kind of tough too. Fascinating. It's more of that like anglerfish style. Yeah, I really like the fascinating. Every time we say the word fascinating, I'm like, yeah, drawn towards. You're really attracted. You're mesmerized. But anyway, so in a way, something we didn't really discuss last hour, and when I decided that those little fur fuzzballs are their currency, maybe this is how they
catch them.
Gotta catch them all. So they use their bioluminescence. So we give them a sort of a bioluminescence. I'll come up with maybe fascination, probably a better name for that.
Yeah.
Other writers have any better name for that sort of special ability?
This is what I'd write down now and see if I think of anything.
Yeah, exactly. Then we can come up with it later if anyone had any brainstorms.
But there's something you said.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Slightly unrelated. Maybe like you could have a feat where. Maybe you attracted a whole bunch of bioluminescent barnacles, and so you have enough to, like, blind people.
Ooh.
We gotta get into something about, like, in the future. We have talked about some of the books that sort of, like the Advanced Race Guide, possibly doing something that along those lines where you can get, like, oh, here's a bunch of things to let you use your powers. Because, you know, we have the Barathu, but you don't actually only play the early stage Barathu. Can you get to be a Barathu, maybe with feats or an archetype or something like that. So that's something that we can definitely put in our back pockets.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa! I've just had a mind-blowing moment. Don't mind me.
Okay.
Alrighty.
I'm going to share it now.
I'm just, like, sort of pulling together some... I'm making sure I can talk about the things I'm thinking about.
Fair enough.
But having... since archetypes in Starfinder are class neutral, you could have, like, a Barathu archetype.
That's...
You just swap out your abilities. Instead of getting, like, shooty things for your soldier class, you gain, like... Combined, amalgamous Barathu abilities.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing we've been playing with. Yeah. Sneak peek, possibly, but whether or not that actually comes through is actually still on the drawing board stage.
And this happens a lot too. You're trying to work on one thing, and then you're like, oh, we got to do something.
So basically,
the hypnotic body.
Yeah, the hypnotic body. Yeah, that's another.
So we need a second ability now, right?
Right. So it's just so sort of let's quickly narrow that down. I think we can do a
more combat focus.
Yeah. What is it? You know, is it a once per day? Is it once per?
Fires barnacles off its body at you.
Or
we're still talking about the fascination.
Yeah, fascination. Oh, fascination. So yeah, like, yeah. Oh, let's just do a thing. It's like, well, you know, as a standard action, you. Do all your bioluminescence, and you fascinate all creatures within 20 feet,
sure.
That can see you. They make a save, will save, obviously, to do it. If they're fascinated.
Once they save.
Yeah, once they save, they can't be fascinated again. There needs to be a duration of some kind.
1d4 rounds.
1d4 rounds is always good. And then we can do a thing where it's like you can use this ability after you've regained your stamina.
And XXs are immune to this.
Yes,
place.
And
they
these
don't
guys
all confuse each other. Go to their version of PaizoCon and be like, oh, what? Just like it's fascinating. Yeah, they're just all like drawn to it.
Okay, let's move on to
number two.
You're about to. Yes.
Is grab still a thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, grab is still a thing.
How is that, Liz?
Okay.
grab.
For those of you listening at home,
I like that you didn't finish that sentence. For those of you listening at home,
it was a visual joke. We can do a thing where we give them grab with their when they hit with a tentacle, which.
Well, I thought given the sort of sea anemone inspiration of some tentacle thing with like.
Stingy styles.
I like this.
And there is some talk about bioluminescence. I also hear like bioelectric.
A little bit of shocking.
Like on a crit, maybe it shocks you with a tentacle.
Okay.
Well, since they also use barnacles are very sticky. So have some type of like maybe they can even spider climb, right? Like they can kind of stick to walls with their little sticky because they're. Technically, are forcing the barnacles to shoot out sticky tongues. And they're using those sticky tongues as arms and legs, right? But for the barnacle, it's just its sticky tongue.
I wonder, though, if, like since in their sort of, as their evolution, their natural habit, they haven't had a lot of walls to stick to, and they do a lot more swimming, that we might want to do more of a...
Maybe...
A good at grabbing and disarming or something like that.
How long are these barnacle arms?
Normal.
Okay.
Normal range.
That long.
That long.
What about like an active camo?
they're based off of cuttlefish and jellyfish or an octopus. They get any color.
Doing little stealth bonuses or something like that. We're brainstorming.
Yeah,
now.
Brainstorming.
No bad answers.
Foreign body, like particles are painful if you spray them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. That is true about barnacles.
So then maybe a grab, but then like when you're grabbing them, they take damage.
When you're grabbing them, when you've grabbed
them.
Right.
So like,
them,
you've got them grappled, or when they are grappled, they can do extra, like a deformed damage just because their body is...
They're just rubbing their body against you.
You want to do that again?
For those of you listening at home.
The thing I was thinking is maybe...
Would that work through an encounter shoot them?
Maybe they, when they go to sleep, rather than worry about drifting away, they like stick to something and then make some resistance again, like trips and little rush and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So they're just sticky.
Yeah.
It's just sticky.
So as a move action, they kind of set themselves in place, and that makes sense.
I'm kind of like that.
I'm kind of like that too.
I don't know, if you're underwater, you're not going to get tripped. Like usually,
well, no, but barnacles stick to.
Right.
Obviously a thing.
But in the environment they're in, like, you're looking at things that are going to be in primarily aquatic environments. So they got a kind of a garbage land speed, so hopefully they're not, like, running around on deck.
As we said, you know, they do want to sleep, and they don't want to wake up, like, many miles from where they want to sleep, so
they
just, like...
They have a close door building,
there's
so, yeah.
Accommodations to take up a special ability spot?
I mean, we would use it to then give it some combat ability, but to explain it, you know, why they can't be bull rushed is because they're jamming themselves down. Yes, sir.
They could like pull themselves into the shell and become completely armored.
A little getting rid of that, maybe moving their, because these tentacles are kind of extensions of the barnacles, and
so,
maybe
like,
there's a certain like, something like that. Yes.
They could have a paralytic agent instead, so they might actually be. That latches onto another larger creature, and then they don't notice it for a while and make sure. So
like an
animal, just a
key.
But I think
if they're like, well, these guys are basically medium sized, but larger against larger things. But that's not gonna maybe not come up in the.
I like the bioelectricity though.
Okay.
We've talked a lot about that. With the particles.
We could do that with without actually taking up special ability. Just if they, because they're going to probably have like a tentacle attack, and then that we could just switch that to be both bludgeoning and electric damage
Yeah. Things like their attacks and whether or not they have natural range attacks. Those don't. I don't count those as
Ooh,
special abilities. Yeah.
I got it.
Luis has got it.
This is it.
All right, triple points.
All right, we have a multitude of barnacles, of course, we've seen, including shipping barnacles. This lets GMs kind of customize them as we see fit. We can offer a handful of different barnacle types to give different abilities depending on how one has customized itself.
Yeah, and then we can say, that's very much like the Barathu, actually.
Which, and then in turn, like as when you give it as a player option, we can give...
Spoilers, we'll get to that.
That's a great idea. Yeah, that's cool. So they have barnacle adaptation or something along those lines.
Now
we have to come up with like five things. Thanks, Luis.
We just came up with
that. All right.
So someone said that's like Barathu, and Barathu can, you know, every 1d4 rounds, they can choose something to do.
Mm-hmm.
This might be more permanent, right? When you build this creature, you decide which... Maybe two or...
Filling their role in society.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which combination?
We're the treasure hunters that go catch the fuzzy boys.
Fuzzy boys. Nice.
That's the name
now, it's canon.
It's FB. I have 20 FB.
Really like fancy F.
You can base it off the different types of barnacles that we've already come up with.
Yes.
There's the one that's the diplomacy barnacle, the ship driving one would be the piloting skill.
Cool, I'm just writing all this
We could just, to make that simpler for the stat block, instead of saying this one does this skill, this one does this skill, we could say this one is the skill based one, choose a skill, gives you like a +2 to that particular skill.
Oh, yeah, more customization? Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. Skill bonus.
It would take up a lot of word counts to cover every skill with a single one.
Do we like paralytic agent or poison better?
Maybe paralytic agent is a type of poison.
Well, I guess that's a good point.
I think
something that works like a paralytic agent or like a straight damage style poison.
Well, they don't want to kill their coins, so.
Right, then gotta get them fuzzy boys.
That's true, gotta get them fuzzy boys.
Be a dex poison.
that might be what, yeah, how we get to the paralytic. Let's just say paralytic agent. We'll deal with it.
It can certainly function as an existing poison if we
if we find a good one like that.
Is CR appropriate?
Yes.
Because again, space-wise, we don't necessarily want to fill.
Right.
If this is just one option of something they might do, right. Devoting much of space to a custom poison might be more than we want to contribute, because often we only have a page or two to tell you all about them. So
especially if we're thinking of adding player stats for that.
Yeah,
it's
going to
take up our sidebar.
I wanted to mention really quick that even if we... generally in Starfinder, when we make monsters, even if we don't make them playable, we do like to have some player-facing option, like whether it's turning a space whale into a starship frame, or...
armor made out of
anything, right? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff made out of the bodies and skins and stuff, which is, you know, that's your go-to if you can't think of anything else. But it's always nice to the Ocu cloak that, you know, uses the sharp wings multi-eye idea to.
Yeah, and that's not made out of anything. It's just sort of like suggested by
Yeah, it's like biomimicry, you know, technology developed based on these interesting creatures and what they can do. So
cool.
But I'm glad we're doing the playable race because that's my favorite.
Yes.
So just with the poison with it, that come out of it, still repeating. It's kind of stuns. It's prey.
Probably be adding that. Maybe it's whether or not it's paralytic touch or something like that.
It could just be the alien physiology reacts to
some background on where that poison or
give me one more barnacle that we were talking about.
What about a reach barnacle? Like, you got a really long tentacle. Ooh,
reach.
Be like a 10-foot smack. Yeah.
Reach tentacle. Maybe that. Maybe we'll sort of give that extra... Do two things in one, right? It's reach and a grab.
Yeah,
tentacle.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice
tentacle.
So the only ones they grab are the ones that have that reach.
Yeah. Those of you listening at home. one more. Let's get one more, so we get four.
What about one that trades swim speed for land speed?
Leg barnacles.
Leg barnacles. I don't know if I would say it should be a trade-off, but it could be a
reduction...
Well, no, just you get more. I mean, it's an extra thing. This one is.
Oh, you just get
so you
more
like
speed.
Yeah. Like, there's an extra on there.
I'm sorry, how common is that on their, you know, their monoplanet?
How many land? How much
how common is it for them to need some sort of like?
I mean, not fuzzy common. Boys run to the surface.
I don't. We didn't bot
really cutely on the surface.
They're not spacefaring. They can hit other planets.
Yeah, I guess we could say they've been spacefaring for a long time.
Yeah.
Learn to grow.
Right.
They're like adapting the arm tentacles to become like
leg tentacles.
Look how often octopus just say, I want to get something over there.
Well, yeah, they have a
little thing, snag it, and get back in.
Yeah.
Okay, idea for their land speed deal. What if they have these, like, basically how we have spacesuits, except inside there's their. I forget what it's called, their liquid,
their
water substance, and they basically swim around in that, and then it controls the legs based on sensors in where their tentacles go, their legs.
I mean, that could be some of the player facing, like...
Equipment stuff that we were talking about,
it's one of those things that we talk about, like, we talk about the Callow encounter suit, but, like... Well, we didn't give you Callow encounter suits in Alien Archive, and then it became later on or something. I don't know.
They're good in the armory.
Yeah, the armory.
And that's often stuff we kind of explain with flavor. Like,
yeah.
That's a fun thing to be like, this is how they hang out.
Right, but we don't necessarily end up being a playable race to say, like, you've got to buy this thing to do anything in regular adventures. Richard.
The other barnacle option is maybe there's an enhancement to the underwater speed, like an octopus or a scallop where they use a jet
ability.
Exactly.
Write that down, cool. And you in the back, you had your hand up too?
I'm going with the jet thing.
Okay. Come up with something different right now.
No. Wow. Minus 1 point for that, Jason.
Oh, and I'm kidding.
You still lose a point.
Yeah, you still lose a point.
I stole the point.
But their tentacles are barnacle related, so how would there be a jet?
It could be a weird thing, like a barnacle that
like
comes, like a bladder inside of it, and it just has a little hole.
It could be like a mantis ship where it pinches and it pushes.
Or it's sonic,
or propeller.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
One half.
Yes.
You're on the board. Okay, so we got two special abilities.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say that our particular combat person has chosen, what do you think, the reach or the paralytic agent?
Reach.
Okay, we'll say that this one is factored into the yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
This one.
He's got a barnacle in his chest that kind of comes around and grabs him.
And just slaps you all around and grabs him.
Mm-hmm.
What's next, Joe?
I'll tell you right now, but for a point.
Okay.
You have 2 points.
No, one point. All right. Final offer.
Right. Skills. Let's do skills.
All right, skills. So we've noticed that from the array, we've gotten some numbers and how many of each number.
We get one master skill.
Which is at?
At 15, plus 15, and we get two good skills. Plus 10.
Perception automatically ends up being a good skill that doesn't count as one of these, so I just say plus 10, unless we want to make it the high one. Mm-hmm. And skills are in Starfighter are like kind of like the thing you can play around with the most, give out skills if you feel like it. Obviously, at this point, we gotta say... Whatever swim
athletics.
Is. Athletics.
Acrobatics.
I keep saying acrobatics.
Bathletics.
Minus 1 point.
Correct.
Athletics, it's plus 15.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's swimming. And it's going to have swim
speed.
Too.
I honestly would consider giving that just because we gave it a swim speed. If I wanted to give it some other master skill too, I would think about possibly doing it. Because as you say, it is a little more flexible.
We could also say that...
And that thing is a little scary looking. Maybe it's learned how to use that to its advantage. Maybe it's kind of intimidating.
This particular one.
The warrior type.
Yeah. Warrior type.
I mean, it just looks like a giant tentacle that reaches out.
I mean, we could also say that we're sort of talking about... this one doesn't have a bunch of them, but... some of those had vertical eyes all over it, so we could actually give it the athletics 15, and they give it also perception 15, just because it's got to see
a bunch of eyes.
Well, it's got to see under this hydrocarbon. It's got to look at how it communicates by looking at the other bioluminescence. One more. Let's get one more skill.
Stealth.
I'm giving it a stealth at plus 10. Sneaker. Because
if it doesn't have any of them.
What's that?
If it doesn't have any of the barnacles activated, it's just this, like,
hot
barnacle.
Well, yeah, but this guy,
he can... So it would make it easier to hide.
Yeah, definitely. All right, that's cool. I think that's good for skills.
Okay, that was fast. Next up would be spells, generally, but as a special ability, we could have chosen to give it, like, a couple spell-like abilities, but this is a puncher, so I think we're good on that.
Or if you had the spellcaster array, you automatically get these spells.
Or with the spellcaster class. And now we're just doing a final check, which I'm going to flip to here.
We would look over the math and see if anything
at least
weird. Right, because what we've got now, it seems to be having more natural attacks, and not...
Very melee-based,
natural attacks, not having a gun or a club of any kind. Do we want to... I don't know if these guys do have natural ranged attacks.
Anybody know how electricity moves through liquid hydrocarbons?
Oh yeah, of course. Anybody?
This kid does.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say there's one type of snail that can shoot harpoons from its mouth.
Whoa.
What? Science. Nature, stop it.
The lead. What?
Well,
at higher CRs, maybe there's... You know, we have our massive list of barnacles. That's just, it gets more, and it
right,
gets the harpoon ability or
something like that. Well, I think since this actually fella has the reach tentacle with grab, he might be better.
That,
he's a fine.
That covers.
It covers a little bit of distance. And he's, okay, so this, we've got an attack that's listed in the array with a damage listed for it, and we would check that in.
One thing to consider is that Starfinder is a much more ranged game, so you often want to consider giving them something ranged.
We could give them...
But I think you're right about the reach in this case. I think that'll...
I mean, they could. I mean, they're already spacefaring creatures. You could have a gun of some kind.
The default assumption for this environment would be we're in its home planet. It's going to have the advantage of getting around and stuff.
Right? Yeah, like, fair enough. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Some sort of burst speed thing also help to overcome the range.
We're probably giving it like a 40-foot swim speed or something like that, right? Yeah,
That's a good point.
Yes.
I wonder, since they have dark vision and are so light based, if they might benefit from kind of like a weaker ability where if they completely dim their lights, that gives them a stealth bonus, provided that they're not giving off any of their light at that time. Mm-hmm. Which might make it easier for them to get close enough that their range is an issue.
So
we could almost maybe build that into the bioluminescent ability that, like, if they totally shut it down and then lose the ability to use that for, like,
some amount of time. Oh, I think it'll use it once per stamina anyway.
Basically, yeah.
So never mind
but
that.
But we could. There's another thing, which I'll get to you in a second, sir. But the, what I sometimes will do is, like, if you want to give it another, a third special ability, because I'm a thing, I'll give it a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, let's say.
Which it has one already.
It kind of does. It kind of has that. We didn't actually give it hydrocarbon breathing,
no, that's
by the way.
True, actually, yeah,
but I don't think that counts as a special ability.
Yeah, yeah.
We could kind of count that as a bit of a weakness. It has to have. Basically, like leg water breathing, it can't
mm-hmm.
breathe outside of this hydrocarbon.
Yeah.
We can kind of count that as a sort of a weakness, and then give it a bit of a. And this is just simply since it is a bonus to stealth. Every once you know, for one reason, is not a massive overpowering ability. So that
mm-hmm.
kind of nicely balances
yep.
it out.
Yep.
And then we'll just go ahead and say stealth sneaks. Stealth sneaks. I'll write that down. I'll know exactly what that means later on.
We'll go to the recording.
We'll go to the recording.
All right. So an important part of hydrocarbons because carbon has the property of tetracovalence and forms covalent bonds with other elements such as hydrogen, since it does not lose or gain electrons. Thus, it does not form ions. So liquid or any organic compound cannot conduct electrons.
Excellent. Thank you for looking that up.
We got our flavor text.
Yeah.
I'd like that to explains why they can have this bioelectricity
yeah,
without
yeah.
electrocuting each
mm-hmm.
other.
Yeah, yeah. So and we, and something we were I was about to get to with the we're talking about their melee attack. We're going to do the thing that Liz says, which is bludgeoning and electric when they give you a good punching. Yes.
You had mentioned earlier that they had a lot of natural attacks, no weapons. Would their environment actually influence any kind of weapon? If you look at weapons here on Earth, your environment is going to
yeah.
influence what you use.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Would their environment, since they have this bludgeoning ability, would their environment even necessitate the need for any kind of weapon?
Wasn't their environment mostly their dead?
I mean, that's where they're living amongst
yeah.
their own...
yeah,
amongst their own...
That actually...
The environment of large living in the hydrocarbon liquid... Would they need spears, or is that bludgeoning really all they need?
That reminds me that we have penalties for bludgeoning underwater.
We do now.
Generally, so...
Does having slow speed negate that?
So they need spiky tentacles.
It might, actually. I don't... Yeah. I would have to read the rules, but I would check that, and maybe
their
tentacles work differently. Maybe they are shaped such that... Because that makes a lot of sense.
And also, we don't really know, like, is... Swimming in hydrocarbon count as underwater combat. Oh, that's a can of different. It's a can of alien worms that we don't
yeah.
want to open. No, you get yeah.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, maybe like if one of their loved ones or family members dies, they can have the dead family member could give permission for someone to make a weapon out of their barnacles and have a specific person wield it.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun flavor text that we can add into this culture.
Yeah.
Which
like,
we,
this
you know,
sword
this
is made of my father.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
My father's sword.
Yeah, my father is the sword. We're going to take this one more question, and then we're going to have to name this thing because
yes.
we're running out of time.
Exactly.
I can see spears, harpoons, harpoon guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's being very useful.
We have, I mean, we can, and in terms of like when we're writing, we're doing this sort of thing, and we've got 2 pages to work with in the Alien Archive. Or possibly one for back of the adventure path. We've got to really kind of like, okay, we've got all this stuff, but then we can't give them all their weapons and then PC racial traits
right.
and then 2 stat blocks. You know, we have to eventually,
mm-hmm.
at some point, decide what we need to put in. And we might say that,
really
like... Hmm?
It can be really tough. That's what I'm doing with AA2
yeah.
now, or what I was just recently doing with Alien Archive 2, was saying, like, which of these awesome things do I have to get rid of because... This is how many there is.
Yeah.
That's all you get. So.
Yeah, and so if we were making this this particular creature as someone with some weapons, we have had a couple things that have like underwater as a weapon trait, or
mm-hmm.
the Kalo Shredder, which I ended up thinking in the armory, which is sort of like a flechette.
Right,
the perfect spot to decide we're going to talk about it in flavor text, and then
yeah.
get a chance to stat it up again later.
Right, yeah,
yeah.
Or and then just say like you know hydrocarbons. Shredder or whatever, it works as such and such. So you can give it a fancy name, but then just say it's these stats. But we need to name this thing right now, we're running out of time. So, ways to name aliens. Do you have any thoughts about naming aliens?
For aliens, what I start doing
alien species?
Is choose a random letter and then start choosing another random letter and then a couple, mm-hmm. and that like cool. starts building sounds.
That explains a lot.
But also, I like to consider what their language might be, like what kind of sounds mm-hmm. they would make. You know, they don't. They use the bioluminescence.
Right.
So at this point, it feels like some other species decided a name for them.
Right, or this is the translation of their name yeah. for themselves, mm-hmm. basically. So, into,
but like if a creature spoke English. With like weird clicks or something, and maybe more hard consonants. Mm-hmm. For,
good point.
Like
Jody,
that.
Have any quick thoughts about this?
All that, that's great.
Terrific.
I'm big on onomatopoeia, so I'm thinking about this thing. I'm like, it's kind of like a cuttlefish, so like maybe like, and then we've got the clicks, so like my brain's coming with things like Edelkick. Or Udl Kuk, or you know, something to like sort of incorporate those sounds that are evocative.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Thoughts?
Yeah, what I generally, you know, for naming monsters is look up words sort of associated with their mm-hmm. core concept, like either, you know, scientific names mm-hmm. for, you know, that kind of animal or, you know, similar animals or like mythological creatures that are kind of associated with their core concept or whatever. Then sort of combine them or rearrange a few letters,
kind of
like coming up with Pokemon names.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's one of my tricks as well.
I look around at newspapers, and so this could be like Mrs. Doubtfire.
No. We're running out of time.
I don't know about the exact sound of the name, but because it is a communal race, mm-hmm. it's more of like the we, the us, the mm-hmm. people, the. Mm-hmm. So is it?
We're gonna go that
for a flavor for thought process.
I mean, they might. Yeah, I generally call them. Have that in the flavor text about how they call themselves.
Well, us you can hyphenate it or have an apostrophe.
Well, now.
And then your editors throw
yeah.
things out. In the name, show that they feel as they are, as if they are two and separate.
Oh, so something, ooh.
Yeah,
so
something
you could string it together like all the barnacles it has.
Oh, so it's a personal name.
Yeah,
I like that.
We like to do that kind of stuff for personal names. For the editing team, gives every developer one apostrophe, I think, to
career.
Use.
Because
they just don't want
yeah.
to keep track.
For career.
And also,
yeah.
oh, sorry.
Yeah,
but we also want a regular plural. That's another thing that's very important to editing. Is
yeah.
You can easily throw an S.
That's just add an S.
That's it, yeah.
So, I guess this picture is looking a bit like the sea bishops. That legend.
Oh, that does.
But with the whole communal aspect, I don't know, maybe a monastery for the name? Or some variation?
I like that. I like that idea as a collective noun for
yeah,
these
that's...
fellas. I love collective nouns.
Yep, yes.
Yes.
So cuttlefish, its order name is Sepidia. That's Sepiida. And they're going to class Cephalopod, which is
Sepidans. I mean, honestly. That's almost.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. That's
yeah,
pretty
that's
good.
Really good.
Should we just like change one letter just so it's not
yeah.
so obvious?
What about barnacles? What's their scientific?
Oh well, yeah, mush them together.
Let me let you Google that for me.
yeah, that's let me
try combining the cephalopods with luminous and hollow cephalons.
Cephaloons! We seem to like that. I'm pitching Cephalume.
That sounds very much like a different.
It might
that's
be
a translation name.
Yeah.
And that spelling of it wins me over. Like I would be like, yes.
Say
yeah.
If I thought of it, which I never would. That was good.
Cephalumes.
And it's a regular plural.
Barnacle is has a class of Cirripedia, which is it starts with C.
It's the okay.
All right. It's another possible. I think.
Right.
Round of applause.
You like that?
So, like the last bits we would have to get for this. Obviously, we have all this flavor.
Yeah,
we're talking about adding a player race.
Oh yeah.
We don't have time to set that up, but that's one of the sidebars we consider. I think another thing would be tend to do two stat blocks for these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like the higher level stat block is a mystic that uses the bioluminescence as it's casting. That's
And we had a lot of talk about like speaking with they really revere their dead and sort of
So those are the little tiny considerations
like
to expand upon the full stat block.
We also would probably not give it immunities as a player race. We'd probably give it maybe like a stacking resistance to cold. So instead of immune to cold, that would be a little powerful for a player race who would say, like, five cold resistance that stacks with other one other source of cold resistance. So it's a little more than anyone else will get, but not...
And then, like we mentioned, like, choose a barnacle.
Right.
Choose a
barnacle. But probably keep that bio fascination because that's not too powerful for a player race to have. Maybe they get it once a day instead of once every... But I like the once every between things.
And then ability score adjustments. Every playable race gets that. Generally...
Intelligence
for one.
Dex.
So generally we try to net a plus two, right? So see we have some that are plus four minus two or plus two minus two. I'm talking about obviously your adjustments to ability scores at
like
character creation.
A dex or a constitution and then int.
Plus two dex, plus two int, minus two
charisma, because people have trouble understanding their
But they're so pretty.
I would take
more
minus on the dex.
Or strength, because they don't need it so much underwater.
I mean, melee attacks are their main.
And
swim is athletics, which is strength.
Yeah, no,
so,
right.
Okay,
that's
it could be plus strength minus dex. That sounds all right,
too. I can see minus cons.
Minus
like
cons.
And they don't have like a skeleton. Like
because they rely on the barnacles
like
so much.
Squishy.
Yeah, like,
plus two strength.
Squish boys. And
squish boys.
Squish boys.
Fuzz boys. Plus two strength, plus two eight, minus two con.
Great.
Thank you,
Taylor.
Beautiful
thing. Yes. Yeah.
Can we all
be
credited in
Alien
Archive 2 now?
No, I told you, Alien Archive 2 is full.
Yeah.
Full. Final
count,
I will be taking these notes back to Paizo. There is always a chance that this could make it into a future product. We will be possibly brainstorming something that might need it soon. Without actually saying, what could it be?
Royalties for the name in the mail.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you
so much.
Oh, did anyone sign up?
Thank you for joining us for another PaizoCon 2018 seminar recording. Special thanks to the KDCon team, including Justin Sluder, Ryan Hiller, Stephen Glicker, and the entire Roll for Combat crew. No Direction's PaizoCon coverage would not be possible without their tireless effort. To find this and other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit nodirectionpodcast.com.